Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of drama. Later on, it's your Movietown Radio Theater from 1950. But first, a broadcast of Art Obler's plays with a story called Night. Heard on the Mutual Network on June 7th, 1945.
Mutual presents Arch Obler's Plays. The Mutual Broadcasting System has the pleasure of presenting the ninth broadcast of a special 26-week series of plays by radio playwright Arch Obler. In this series, we hope to bring you dramas full of the excitement and the meaning of plays told in relation to the expanding world we live in. Our play this evening is titled Night.
The land is in darkness. The day, once capering with the promise of its allotted hours, has gone, creeping agedly over the edge of the sky. Night, soft veiling, lies thickly over the ponds and swamps and lakes and rivers, over the knolls and dunes and buttes and mountains, over the homesteads, farms, the ranches and plantations, over the villages and towns and county seats and cities. For a whisper of time, the night is on the land.
Sailor, don't you get tired dancing?
Keep dancing.
Okay. As long as you pay for it, I gotta do it. But 2 hours, my feet, they're killing me.
What are they stopping for? Why don't they keep playing?
Listen, Sailor, the musicians, they're human. They gotta rest. So long, Sailor.
No, you gotta stay with me.
But I...
When the music starts again, you gotta dance with me again.
Okay. You're the violin type, ain't you? You got more tickets?
Sure.
Okay, you gotta pay tickets to sit and talk to me. Come on, we'll sit over here. Oh, brother, my feet.
When are they gonna start playing again?
In a minute. Yeah, I never saw anybody crazier about dancing. If you want to sit here, you got to buy something to drink.
All right.
Freddy, 2 Cokes. What time is it?
10 o'clock.
Gee, over 2 hours you've been dancing with me. Oh, my feet. Don't you want to dance with somebody else?
I've got to dance with you.
Listen, Sailor, I don't get it. You come
here's
in here...
Here's your Cokes. And... There's 4 bits, Navy.
Yeah. Here you are.
Okay.
Do I need this?
How soon does a band start playing again?
I told you in a minute. What's the matter with you? Dancing steady for 2 hours? You can't sit still for a minute? Say, when'd you get off your ship?
A couple of hours ago.
You came right here?
Yeah.
I still don't get it. If you were a hepcat, but... Now, listen, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you dance like an old crutch. Yeah, I'll bet you're a farm boy. Okay, so don't answer that one. But tell me this. What do you want to dance so much for?
I have the tickets to pay for it.
All right. You think it's just the dough? You think you can just wave a ticket in front of my face and that's all you have to do? Okay, Sailor, you can go dance with one of the other girls, not me.
No.
I'm telling
you. No, it's got to be you.
Oh, no.
It's got to be you. You got red hair.
What the heck are you talking about?
Your hair like carrots. You got to dance with me.
All right, Bombay. So red hair sends you. You're cute. Maybe you could...
Take your hands off me.
Huh?
Just dance with me, that's all. Just dance.
You got your nerve.
I hate you. I hate this dirty, filthy place. I want to go home.
Would you come
They're
in
They're waiting
here?
For me, Ma and the kids and Jeannie, but I got to stay here until I'm broke, so you'll dance with me. Just dance with me.
No, I won't.
You will.
I'll call the bouncer. He'll...
No. Or dance, now.
Joe! Quick, Joe!
Dance.
What's the matter, Annie? This guy
He's crazy,
me?
Joe. He won't let go of me.
Keep it quiet. You know better than to make a fuss.
I know, but...
Okay. Listen, buddy.
No, listen to me. She's got to dance with me.
Joe, make up.
Okay, Sailor. We don't want no trouble in here, but if she don't want to dance with you,
she's got to dance with me.
I don't want to.
Listen to me. Please listen. I don't want to dance with you either, but I got to.
You see, I told you.
Shut up. Sailor, what's...
That's what he wanted to do. Come back and dance with a redhead. Dance all night. Dance till he was broke.
What's the matter with you?
That's all he used to talk about on his first leave, how he's going to come to New York and dance then and dance all night with a redhead. He's not ever... I've got to do it for him. Please, lady, I'm sick and I want to go home, but please, you've got to dance with me. You've got to dance.
The night is restless. It stirs and turns and carries with it the restless thoughts of artists, architects, contractors and builders, bricklayers and masons, ministers and teachers, tinsmiths, welders, charwomen, tailors, tycoons, freightmen, executors and politicians, bankers, window washers, soldiers, brewers, leather makers, printers, butchers, tinners, roofers, fishers, millers, bondsmen, carpenters, lawyers, judges, painters, senators and representatives, wholesalers and retailers. All the associates, colleagues, workers and co-workers of the land.
Vince.
Huh? You awake?
You can't sleep?
I didn't know I was bothering you.
It's all right. I haven't been sleeping either.
Oh?
Getting cooler.
I've used the plow for 30 years, and now this fella comes along and says it's wrong.
What?
The county agent about the disking. Sure got me stumped.
Oh.
The ground's got to be turned. Sure got me stumped.
Well, Vince.
What?
I hope she's all right.
Now, Egg, are you starting to worry again?
No, I've just been thinking about her, that's all.
But it's been a whole week. He's a fine boy. She'll make a good wife. That's all there is to it.
All day I don't even think about it, but as soon as it's dark, I begin thinking.
Egg, you're such a worrier.
I suppose. What, sir?
Something I forgot to tell you. Right after the ceremony, Dick came up to me and said he wanted me to know that after the war, no matter where he and Fran lived, they'd always manage to come spend vacations someplace in Ohio so they could help with the harvesting.
That was nice.
I'm going to fool him. I'm going to take him up on it. You'll find out it's a lot easier to fly one of those bee, whatever they are, than it is to drive a combine. Asleep, Egg?
No.
Oh, Egg.
Miss her terrible, Vince. For 19 years, you never was away from me, Miss her terrible.
I do, too.
Such a good boy. I know she's crazy about him. But I wish right now she was little again and afraid to be in the dark and crawling into the bed with us like she used to.
Try to sleep.
Terrible, I suppose, my feeling this way. So many people have really lost their...
Sure. We're lucky. She'll come back often. She's a good girl.
Yes.
Now try to sleep.
It's such a dark night.
I think it'll rain a little by morning. The barley could use it.
Good night, Vince.
Good night, Egg.
Night is a trickster. It mutates, transposes, changes, shuffles, conjures, prestidigitates, juggles, spoofs, hoodwinks, and hocus pocuses. A white sheet, wind-tossed, spawns a ghost. A tumbleweed, a roving demon. A timber's creak, a dead man's bones. And underneath the bed wait nameless, faceless, night-born things. The night moves on and whispers behind the joke of the dark beyond the dark.
You mean he cut him up in little pieces and stuck him in the boiler?
That's what I mean.
Gosh, hey. Hey, Ryan, cut that out, will you?
Hey, what's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me. Can't you play something else?
Sure.
Ryan!
Ryan, cut it out, will you?
Hey, Ryan!
What is the matter with you guys?
Nothing. We don't want to hear you play, so there's something wrong with us.
Yeah. Is this the auditorium or a fire station?
How would you characters like to go to...
Hold it.
Ah, that's over in Cicero.
Yeah. It's a hoodoo, all right.
You ain't kidding.
Sure is. What? Hey, what are you guys up to?
Listen to Hank. He'll tell you.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's Thursday, ain't it?
Okay, it's Thursday.
There hasn't been a night run on this station on Thursday night for 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah. Since the Thursday night that Paddy Gooners died.
On a windy night. Just like this one.
Paddy Gooners? Who was Paddy Gooners?
He was a fireman. And he died in this station 20 years ago. Right in this room.
Hey, fellas, is this guy kidding me?
Well, listen, you big lug. He's telling you the facts.
Now, you want to hear the rest of the story, Ryan?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. Thought maybe you didn't like ghost stories.
Yeah? Go on.
Okay. Paddy Gooners was the driver of a steam pumper that ran out of the station 20 years ago. He was a little guy, but big with women.
Like me.
Oh, keep quiet, will you, Ryan?
Only one day he met a woman he shouldn't have met. The pretty wife of a fellow who stoked the boiler of the pumper.
Oh!
One day the fellow who stoked the boiler of the pumper came home when he shouldn't have come home.
Uh-oh.
Paddy did some quick talking. Thought he talked his way out of it because nothing happened.
Nothing?
Nothing. But the next day there was some kind of a big celebration out in Grant Park, and most of the fire department went down there to put on an exhibition, leaving only a skeleton crew, four or five guys. Paddy and the fellow with the good-looking wife were two of them. The other fellas finally went across the street to get a beer. They were only gone a few minutes, but when they came back, Paddy was gone.
Gone?
Just gone. Nobody knew just where. He didn't come back. Chief figured he'd run off with some woman somewhere, so he crossed him off the department's lists, and that was that. Only it wasn't that. Because a year went by, and it was Thursday. Just about this time of night. Fellas were sitting around, just the way we are, right here in this very room. Everything okay. And all at once, somebody said, "Look, on the floor. What's that?" That was a big stain. And when they looked close and touched it, it was blood. What could they do? Nobody knew how it got there. So somebody got some soap and water and some sand, and they scrubbed it up in case the inspector came around. Everybody helped but one. The fellow that had the pretty wife. He just sat there. Didn't move. Just kept watching. A week went by. Thursday again. Same time of night. Fellas were sitting around here, just the same as we are now. There it was again. Fresh blood. This time they called in the cops. Didn't do much good, because blood is blood, and that's all there was, just a little blood there on the floor. Scrubbed it up. Week went by. Thursday night came around again, and there they were, waiting. Floor was clean. Had a lantern sitting there. They waited. Nothing happened. And all at once it did. The light went out. Everybody began to yell in the dark, running around, bumping into each other. At last, someone found the light, lit it. Then they saw. There on the floor was blood again. Only this time it was pouring out from the throat of the fellow that had the pretty wife.
Oh, well, what? But who?
He cut his own throat. At least, that's what they say. And he left a letter telling what he had done to Paddy. Cut him up and stuffed him into the boiler of the pumper all those weeks ago.
Right here? In this station?
That's right. Right here in this station.
And there has been. And there hasn't been a night run out of this place for 20 years.
Well, what do you know?
There was something else you fellas don't know about.
What was that, Hank?
Huh?
His confession. Murderer said that he had cut Paddy up. Right in there.
In there?
You mean in the place where we make our coffee?
That's it.
Oh, well, How do you like that?
I don't like it.
Well, that's all there is to it. Gosh, it sure is dark, quiet night tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Say, Ryan. What? It's your turn to make the coffee tonight.
Oh.
Is it?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hank, would you like to come along and sort of help me?
The night is a sedative, prescribed by the rhythm of life's molecules, wearying in their sundance. The night is an old medicine man, mixing a dark brew of tremblings and laughter and fury and past ecstasy, terror and hurt, and the wordless murmurs of a woman talking in memory. The night is an old medicine man.
Easy, girl. Easy.
She's tired. Duster is, too. Aren't you, Duster?
We've been gone long.
Jay.
What's the matter?
We've been out for 6 hours.
Well, what do you know? It's good, Alice. Can't tell you how good it is.
I can imagine.
You know what the fellas used to call me?
What?
Bronco.
You?
In fact, I used to talk so much about the horses and the range. Alice.
Yes, Jay?
Gee, Alice, I never want to go in.
We don't have to.
Ride all night?
Ride all night.
Gosh. You know what was the worst?
If you want to tell me.
When the captain used to button up the tank, close the turret, there I was down there. The noise, Alice, the noise inside of that tank, like riding on the inside of a tin tub. I used to fire the gun, the Italian roads during the summer, all the dust. Oh, Alice, it was the worst. They never knew it. The others never said anything, but me. Inside the...
I know.
The wind.
Yes, Jay?
The wind was never like this over there. Sage. I'd forgotten how wonderful.
I thought I wrote you.
Oh, you did, but... it got hard to remember toward the end.
Yes. I can imagine.
You know, honey, I got one break.
What?
For bronc busting. I got the right arm left.
Jay.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. It's better than that. It's wonderful. I'm back. And just think, I never have to go away again.
The night is a non-sectarian air-conditioned meeting house, echoing in a thundering chorus, Bible-pounding, Bible-reaching, hallelujahs, Lord's prayers, whispers, heaven-reaching, devil-catching, gospel-grinding, pitching, catching. The night is a meeting house.
This concludes our great meeting for tonight. Bless you all. And don't forget to leave your free will offering as you go out to carry on the way of the Great Spirit. Good night. God bless you. And don't forget to bring your friends next Saturday night, same time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The meeting's closed.
Excuse me, Reverend, could I...
Sorry, brother, sorry. In a little hurry tonight to do the work of the Lord. See you later.
God bless you, Reverend.
Harriet. Harriet!
All right, I heard you. Stop yelling.
Well, if you'd answer me, I wouldn't have to yell at you. Well, well, how did we do?
$103.
$103? Why, the low-living, tight-fisted...
Don't blame them. It's you.
Me?
Preaching. By the way you were going tonight, you couldn't raise a dollar out of a hard shell on his way to perdition.
I've been doing all right.
You were doing all right. But I'm telling you, you're slipping downhill faster than a pig on a greased runway.
Now, look here.
No, you listen to me. $103 from a meeting like tonight. You better listen.
What do you got to say?
I've been doing a lot of thinking. These West Coast amen snorters ain't what they used to be. Working in air plants and all that. They're getting modern ideas fast. All right? Why shouldn't you get modern ideas?
I preach from the headlines.
Ain't enough. Charlie, we gotta throw off the old coat like a rattlesnake in the spring.
What do you mean?
Don't be a thicker head than you are. We gotta go out of business and come back into business again.
Talk words.
Just this. Electronics.
Huh?
Electronics. I've been giving it a lot of thinking. Everybody's talking about electronics. Radio and that television and that new thing, radar. Electronics. That's what they're thinking about, and that's what we'll give them.
Well, keep talking.
This is the night we're starting over. Close right down, move right out, and start up someplace else. Long Beach or San Diego. New start with a new name.
Well, well?
The Electronical Pathway to the Cosmos.
Ah.
Don't look down your nose at me. I'm talking sense. The Electronical Pathway to the Cosmos. That's scientific. Fill the stage full of electrical stuff. Sparks shooting around. Mm-hmm. Sparks rising up to heaven, going up to heaven. Ride the sparks to the fountainhead of all the cosmos.
Hey, that's something.
Give them membership pins.
Yeah.
Made like jagged lightning.
Sure.
Pins to wear at $5 cash to show that they're a member. The Electronical Society of the Cosmos.
The Electronical Society of the Cosmos. Harriet, I see it now. Jagged lightning crashing down on sinners. Burning sparks lifting the repenting sinners up, up. Up to the highest pinnacle of the highest cosmos. The Bible seen through the eyes of modern science. Through electronics. Hallelujah. Amen. That's it. We're in business.
The night is a movement. East-west along the path grooved by the sun. The night is a movement, east, west.
What time is it?
Huh? Almost half past.
They ought to be letting us on board soon now. Don't you think?
What's the matter, soldier? Haven't you learned how to wait yet?
You know, I heard the...
No, no, no. I heard, you heard, he heard. It all adds up to parking it, soldier. Just parking it.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
Sure.
Hey, watch out that stuff there!
Okay. Boy, am I a lunkhead.
Are you?
Yeah. I had a chance to get out. No, I'm a dream boy. I tell him to forget.
Where were you?
Where wasn't I? From D-Day right on through. I was the second guy across the river to drink vodka with them Russians.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So now you'll drink sake in Tokyo.
As my mama used to say, I should live so long.
Maybe you will.
Maybe. What's your name?
Frank?
Mine's Jake.
Hiya, Jake.
Pleased to meet you, Frank. Sure is dark.
Yeah.
I used to take boat rides at night in Central Park.
New York?
Yeah. The night, a boat, a girl. I was all right.
I know what you mean. Now we got the night and the boat. And that's it.
I'd like to hold on to this one.
Made in America. Put a tag on it.
Yeah, that's an idea. Stick around, Knight. Stay right here. Jake's coming back for you. Maybe.
All right, men, on board. Let's go.
Stick around, Knight.
The land is in darkness. The day, once capering with the promise of its allotted hours, has gone, creeping agedly over the edge of the sky. Night, soft veiling, lies thickly over the cities, county seats, towns, and villages, over the plantations, ranches, farms, and homesteads, over the mountains, buttes, dunes, knolls, over the rivers, lakes, the bays and harbors. For a whisper of time, the night is on the land.
Just heard Night, a new play by Arch Obler. The original musical score was composed and conducted by David Raxon.
Arch Obler's Plays on Tuned to Yesterday from the 7th of June 1945 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. That year, writing-wise, turned out to be a busy one for Arch Obler, who worked on the Victory Chest program and, of course, the weekly show Arch Obler's Plays, along with an interesting broadcast called the AFRA Refresher Course Workshop of the Year, penned for the Armed Forces Radio Service, a story called Night Flight, which was about a pilot who quickly became reflective as his plane ran out of gas while flying over the Pacific. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for an episode of your Movie Town Radio Theater with the story The Coming of Mr. Snover, a 1950 episode released for syndication.
I'm particularly pleased to be able to introduce a gentleman who is almost a legend among actors and who has earned the enviable reputation by virtue of an ability rarely equaled in the entertainment business. He is truly one of America's most beloved figures, the star of such great stage plays as 45 Minutes from Broadway, Funny Face, OK, the Pulitzer Prize-winning play of The I Sing, as well as scores of top motion pictures. So it's a real pleasure indeed to welcome a veteran of more than 50 years on the American stage and screen, Mr. Victor Moore.
Oh, dear. Has it been that long?
It hasn't really seemed so long, has it, Victor?
No, it hasn't, Les. I enjoy each new role, and I'm happiest when I'm working. I'm looking forward to my part in our radio play as though it were my theatrical debut.
Well, good luck in your debut, Victor. And I'm looking forward to a little chat with you after the play. while we're waiting for the critics' report on our newcomer.
I'll meet you right here, Les.
Good. Thank you, Victor Moore. And now, here is our announcer. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
You don't think it's too gay, do you, Mr. Cooley?
Why, not at all, Mr. Silver. I've never seen you look better. I'm certainly glad to see you getting away from those brown suits you've always worn. Confidentially, Mr. Silver, I never did like you in brown.
Well, me either. You know, Cooley, I've been dreaming about a blue suit with an invisible red stripe for years.
And it really looks marvelous on you.
Maybe you'd better wrap it up before Mrs. Snover gets here.
Oh, she came in the store with you?
Yeah, she stopped at the lingerie department, but she told me to run along to the men's clothing. There were some models there.
Oh. Well, I'd better get the suit wrapped before... Well, hello, Mrs. Snover. A real pleasure to see you.
Edgar, what are you doing in a blue suit?
I just thought I'd like it for a change. I'm tired of brown.
He's tired of brown. How do you like that, Mr. Cooley?
Ha! Tired of brown.
Have you got one of those brown suits you usually keep in stock for Mr. Snover?
Why, yes, Mrs. Snover, we certainly have. Very smart suit, and Mr. Snover looks so well in brown.
Judas.
Take that suit off, Edgar. We'll take the brown one. There's no sense in looking at a dozen models when we know what we want.
But, Mary...
It certainly makes it a lot simpler to stick to the same pattern and color each time.
But, Mary, couldn't I have a blue suit just once?
No.
Gee, sometimes I wish...
Edgar, take that silly expression off your face. What's come over you?
I don't know. But lately I seem to hear music every so often. And then something comes over me and, well, then I'm tired of being me.
Well, I can't say that I blame you. Mr. Cooley, you can send out one of the brown suits. And you'd better send a dozen of those plain brown ties that we always buy, too. We have made up our mind.
Gosh, Mary, if you'd only let me help make up our mind just once. Oh, but Mary, that was my very last bottle of ginger ale, and you broke it.
And you're not going to get any more.
But Mary, I don't put anything into the ginger ale. I haven't for years.
But you pretend there's something in it. That's just as bad.
Oh, I might as
well. And I've thrown out your pipes, too. They still smelled of tobacco.
Well, how could they? I haven't had any tobacco in them for years.
Well, then there's certainly no sense in keeping them, is there?
Well, I like to wear one, sticking out of my breast pocket. It gives me a rakish air.
You and Errol Flynn.
Oh, you've noticed the resemblance, too. For a while, I thought it was just my imagination.
Oh, no, no, it couldn't be that. You have no imagination.
I have, too. No, I guess I haven't any imagination. Mary, we haven't seen a picture all week. Would you like to go to the movies tonight?
I am going to the movies. With Mrs. Goslin.
Oh.
And you're staying home, Edgar George Snover. You're way behind on your ironing. And I don't want it scorched this time. Now, no daydreaming, Edgar.
Oh, of course not, Mary. How could I daydream? It's evening already. Now, let's see. I can get the ironing done in about 2 hours. That gives me a half hour to clean the basement. Then I'll hurry to get the darning done before Mary gets back, and I... No, I'm not going to do it. Am I a man or a mouse? Maybe I'd better look in the mirror. I would look better with a blue suit. Maybe a maroon tie. But I don't look so bad.
You're getting a little bald and a trifle paunchy, and you have a hangdog expression, but as you say, you don't look so bad. But you sure know Errol Flynn, Edgar?
Who are you?
I'm your subconscious.
My subconscious? Do you think Mary knows I have one?
If she doesn't, it's the only thing she doesn't know about you.
Where did you come from?
From the dim recesses of what used to be a very good mind. I'm a very high type caliber subconscious, too. Only it's been a long time since you used me.
Well, how could I use you? I didn't know you.
Oh, I guess you didn't. You see, I'm you, and of course, you're me.
It sounds pretty complicated. Couldn't you make it a little simpler?
Oh, sure, Edgar. I realize that brain of ours, yours, hasn't had too much exercise lately. You see, everyone has a subconscious, inner thoughts that tell him what to do. We subconscious are always on the alert, ready to spring into action, like this afternoon when you wanted that blue suit. Did you hear a sort of inner voice telling you to take it?
Like a chord of music, maybe?
Right. I was trying to break through. But then you took a look at Mary, and you put me right out of the picture. Now, just because I mentioned Mary, you don't have to try to push me out of the picture again. After all, if you want to be a man again.
Oh, I do.
I'm glad you said that. Oh, you almost pushed me clear out again.
Well, I'm sorry. I wouldn't want to push you anywhere. I'm not much of a pusher.
You're telling me. Edgar, I'm almost ashamed to be your subconscious at times. Oh, what a weakling. You let Mary keep you in this 2x4 apartment when you own a big house just because she can keep servants. You let her hand-picked manager run your factory and you're afraid to even go down there. No wonder you let them pin the name Edgar on you. Why, if you'd listened to me, you'd call yourself E. George Snover. And you'd stick out your chest and live up to the name. Not that. That's your stomach.
It used to be my chest.
A lot of things used to be something they aren't now. You know, Edgar, you've reached the stage where you have to do something right now. Or else, if you let me tell you what to do just once, things will be different when Mary gets home.
I'll say they will. I haven't done the ironing yet. Our Boone tobacconist. I wonder if I should. Mary is dead set against tobacco for me.
Go on in, Edgar.
Well, all right.
Well, come in, Snover. Don't stand there all night.
I beg your pardon.
Pretty late, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know.
The missus know you're out?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, what'll it be? A bag of jelly beans?
Oh, no. I want some pipe tobacco.
Well, what are you whispering about? It ain't rationed.
No, it isn't. Not in everybody's house.
Okay, tin of tobacco. Anything else?
Well, have you... how about some ginger ale?
Sure. Large bottle?
No, just a small bottle of ginger ale, but I'll have a large bottle of that other stuff on the shelf.
You don't mean that fifth of...
I didn't ask you what it was. Just wrap it up, Mr. Boone.
Is that you?
Yes, dear. You got home early tonight.
And just where have you been?
Well, I just thought I'd get a breath of air. Yeah, air.
What's in that package?
Oh, I was just going to hand it to you.
Edgar Snover. Do you know what I smell in that package?
I must have picked up the wrong one somewhere.
I'll say you did. Now, just trot out to the kitchen and get a broom, a dustpan, and a mop. Maybe I'd better go with you to see that you come right back.
Yes, my love.
And tobacco, too. Well, really, Edgar George Snover, I am surprised.
Yeah, I am a little, too. I never would have believed it.
Well, am I glad I came into the kitchen. Not a speck of the ironing done.
Oh, I could have sworn I did it before I went out. You think maybe the wind
Edgar.
Could have... No, I guess not.
Well, you stay up tonight until that ironing is done.
Yes, dear.
And tomorrow you'll be punished. You can't go to the park and feed the pigeons.
But, Mary, the pigeons didn't do anything, and you'll be punishing them, too.
Oh, don't think for one minute you've been fooling me, Edgar. I know why you go to the park. It's to get away from me. Subconsciously, you'd like to be the boss around here.
What did you say?
I said subconsciously you'd like to...
That doesn't.
What are you talking about?
You just reminded me of my subconscious. I can't let my subconscious down.
Have you gone mad?
Yes, darn mad. Now let's put down this janitor's equipment and go into the living room. There are a few things I want to talk to you about, Mary Snover. It's as simple as this, my dear Mary. In the morning, you're going to make preparations to move back into the big house. I was born there, and I like it. And while you're taking care of the moving arrangements, I shall go down to the factory and investigate its management.
But Mr. Cap is doing a very good job, I'm sure.
No one with a name like Phineas Cap could be doing a good job.
But he always seemed like a...
Lots of people seem like things they aren't. Take me, for instance. I guess I always seemed like a meek, mild-mannered little man.
Oh, no, dear. I always knew that deep inside, you were a regular lion.
And how right you were, dear. A lion. The king of beasts. That's E. George Snover. Young man, could you tell me where Mr. Cap's office is? I've asked half a dozen people, but no one seems very cooperative.
Well, I don't exactly know where. Why, it's Mr. Snover.
Yes. Who are you?
Oh, you wouldn't remember me. The last time you saw me, I was a baby. But Dad used to have some pictures of you in the album. Maybe remember him. Fred Stanton?
Fred Stanton? You his boy? Well, what do you know? Daddy gave Fred a job here when he got out of school. Is he still around?
No. He doesn't work here anymore. He got fired when he started asking Mr. Cap a few questions. Things aren't exactly on the up and up here, Mr. Snover.
That's what I suspected, Fred.
My name's Bill. Fred was my father.
Oh, yes. Well, things are going to be different here after today, Bill. Or they will be if I can find Mr. Cap's office.
He's right down this hall, Mr. Snover. That big office at the end. The one marked Mr. Snover's office.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it certainly is a great pleasure meeting you after all these years, Mr. Snover.
It is?
I should say so. I wanted to meet you years ago, but Mrs. Snover always said you had no head for business. So I just let it go.
But I have a head for business. I'm very good at addition. A long division, too. Bring in the books.
Oh, I'll take your word for it, Snover. I'm sure you're good in arithmetic. But why do you want to trouble yourself with unimportant things? I have everything under control here. Why don't you just forget about the Snover potboiler work?
Oh, you probably think I was kidding about my business ability. Well, I'll show you. Bring in the books.
No, Snover. I know you're a whiz at addition and long division.
And subtraction, too. Bring in the books.
Well, they aren't exactly handy at the moment. Anyway, I'm sure you're tops in subtraction. Now, I've got a date at my club. Why don't you come along and have a drink?
No, I want to see the books.
Okay. Our books are kept in the vault, Snover, and I've buzzed for a guard. He'll be happy to show them to you. You can just add and subtract and divide to your heart's content.
You rang, boss?
Yes, Bobo. This is Mr. Snover.
Hello, Bobo.
So you're Snover.
Bobo, Mr. Snover has an idea he'd like to look at the books. I told him they were in the vault, but that you'd be happy to take him inside the vault and show them to him.
Sure, boss, sure.
So if you'll be so kind, Bobo, please take care of Mr. Snover.
Inside the vault at the boiler works.
Oh, it's you, my subconscious. You're the one who got me into all this trouble. I wish I'd stayed meek.
Oh, come on now, Edgar. That's no way to talk. You've done a fine job so far. All you need is one last push to make yourself a man again.
It'll have to be a big push if I'm going to get through that steel door. I guess I'll just lie here until I die. I'll smother to death. I'll suffocate. And it's all your fault.
Look, Edgar.
George.
No. No, you haven't earned that name yet. Look, Edgar, you're still on this last chance we've talked about before. You'll either muff it again and become Mary's lapdog, who can't smoke or drink or feed the pigeons in the park, or you'll be boss, the head of this company, and the lion at home. You growl once. Let's hear you do it again, Edgar.
Oh,
you can do better than that. Think of what you owe that boy, Bill, Fred's son. What do you think he kept his job here? That's right. He figured things weren't kosher, but that you'd come back someday and set them right. He's probably outside now waiting to help you if you let him know you're inside this vault. Why don't you pound on the door, Edgar? You want to get out, don't you?
Oh, sure, sure I do. Bill? Bill, it's me, E. George Snover, inside the vault. I want out. I have work to do. Bill? 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 You don't have to hold him, Bill. Our friend Bobo isn't going to cause us any more trouble. Are you, Bobo?
I'm clearing out of here.
You wouldn't get very far, not with an attempted murder charge against you.
Huh?
Oh, yes. Knocking someone over the head and then locking them in a vault would be interpreted as attempted murder if I pressed charges. But I might not if you decided to play on my team.
Oh. What do you want me to do, boss?
Go to Cap's club and bring him back here, and I don't care if you're not gentle.
Okay, boss. I'll bring him back. I'll bring him back quicker than you can say.
Do you think he will, Mr. Snover?
I'm sure of it. My subconscious tells me he's a very frightened man. And it also tells me Mrs. Snover is outside.
I'll bring her in.
Good old Mary. I guess it wasn't her fault she became a shrew. If you put a rug on the floor, somebody's going to walk on it. Bill, have the notice to the employees posted on the bulletin board and send Cap in when he gets here. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, George, dear. Well, I see you're really taking the reins in both hands. Oh, I'm glad.
I'm glad you're glad. I called you down because I didn't want to do anything to Cap without letting you know about it. You appointed him, and I know you must have had a good reason.
Well, he's the husband of a very dear friend of mine.
Well, we'll be easy on him, but he does keep very untidy books. Now then, Cap, what happened to the Wimble account?
They decided they didn't want to sell to us any longer.
Oh, I'm getting tired of these evasions, Cap. Either you come clean or I'll give you the works. And I don't mean the Stover potboiler works.
Very funny.
No, not bad, but that isn't getting us anywhere. Bill, where's that letter from Mr. Wimble?
Right here, Mr. Snover.
Now then, Cap, the reason you quit doing business with Wimble is that he wouldn't give you a kickback, isn't that it?
Yes, you tightwad. I guess if you have it in that letter, I don't have to tell you about it.
Oh, the letter's only about an error of 3 cents in their last invoice. But don't worry. We have the goods on you.
What do you want?
I want you to endorse those stock shares over to Bill. I'm making him my junior partner. Then you can leave. We won't press charges.
Thank you, Snover. Where do I sign?
Right on this dotted line. And then you can pack up your personal effects and get out of here.
Okay. There's my signature.
Fine. Hey, Bill. What's all that noise?
I don't know. It's in the courtyard right outside the window. I'll see what it is.
Oh, dear. I hope there isn't going to be any more trouble today.
Where's the guy?
It's the employee. They've seen the sign on the poster. They don't exactly care for this wholesale firing.
Oh, dear. I knew things were going too smoothly. Mr. Cap, I'm afraid I've been hasty. Maybe if you were to speak to the men. Wait a minute.
Edgar, this is no time to quit. Just when you were becoming me and I was becoming you.
And this is no time for riddles. What are you talking about?
I mean, well, that I'm the weak one. Your subconscious thoughts are those of a mild-mannered man, but you're strong. You're up to these emergencies. Go out there and talk to the men. George, tell them what's in your heart.
What are you mumbling to yourself about, Snowa? Have you come to your senses?
Sit down, Cap. Who asked you to get up? Bill, stand beside me. I'm going to make my first and maybe my last speech.
Gentlemen! I said gentlemen. If you are gentlemen, you'll listen.
I had a notice posted saying that many of you were fired. Those of you whose loyalty I doubted. I made a mistake. I was wrong. You can't condemn men too greatly for following bad leadership. I'm going to give you all good leadership and another chance. Not because I'm frightened of this demonstration, but because I think all of us deserve a second chance. I've evaded my responsibility towards you for a long time, so naturally you evaded your duty towards me. You may all have the rest of the day off, and starting tomorrow morning, we will all buckle down to the job. You will do yours and do it well, and I will do mine and do it well, or my name isn't E. George Snover.
Your Movietown Radio Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated episode from 1950, bringing the curtain down on the hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.